Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, a spirited discussion between Victor Jakes, the opinion columnist for the Las Vegas Review Journal, and myself. He's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Big R and Sparks is located on Baring Boulevard next to Smith's and across from Reed High School. It's a 50,000-square-foot hardware store and a whole lot more. It's your spring headquarters with lawn and garden supplies, power equipment, and outdoor living. Big R on Baring Boulevard and Sparks next to Smith's and across from Reed High School. Big R, hardware and a whole lot more.
Carson Valley Inn, it's your place for the good times. Carson Valley Inn.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're coming to you from the Ahern Hotel in Las Vegas, and pleased to be joined once again by Victor Jakes. He is the opinion writer for the Las Vegas Review Journal. So let's start out with your opinion of the legislative session, the main session that has ended, and as we're taping this, we're still in a special session for the A's, but that may already be a week or two gone past now. But in general, what did you think of the session?
Well, if you were a Democrat, you have to be thrilled because it was an incredible session for Democrats. It started off with Governor Lombardo proposing just a massive increase in public education spending and money for state workers. And Democrats only added on top of that, you know, Governor Lombardo's priorities that he got elected on. Democrats basically whittled those away to almost nothing. The school discipline bill was a little more substantial, but you know that bill actually came out of the assembly in an overwhelming fashion before Democrats started to play hardball. So, if you're a conservative, you've got to be really disappointed. There's no expansion for school choice. Governor Lombardo is now going to mandate private insurance companies and Medicaid pay for gender retransition child mutilation surgeries in the name of transgenderism. It's a great session for Democrats, a terrible session for Republicans.
Okay, and there is certainly another side that would argue with you about your terminology there in terms of transgender, but that has become one of the big issues of discussion in this country at this point in time. Don't you think, and you know, I'm a little bit older than you, and so my memories, I'm not sure what year you were born in, but my memories of the late 60s and early 70s was a time of great social upheaval in this country. And there were a lot of groups that had been put upon in various ways that needed to fight back and rise up and be respected and become a part of the fabric of this country. And I think we're going through exactly the same thing now. And I'm not saying that in certain instances people may go too far, but I think that's part of what makes America is that we have social revolutions, which is why, thank goodness, we don't have slavery, for example, at this point in time. So,
To compare slavery with prohibiting I'm a minor child from chopping off their testicles or their healthy breast, honestly, I think that's a nuts, just a crazy comparison. I think what we're
I'm talking about social change. I'm not talking about specifically apples and apples.
Well, the social debates in this issue, there's two of them. First, can we define what a woman is? Because right now on the left, there's a push to say, a woman, you are a woman if you are a woman. And that doesn't work as just a logical definition, right? You can't have a self-referential definition. So can we as a society define what a woman is? And then the second issue is a child, a minor child who's not allowed to get a tattoo, who can't get Tylenol from a school nurse without a parent's permission, are they allowed to make the irreversible choice to stop puberty, a natural process, to cut off their private body parts, their breast or their testicles, in the name of saying, oh, actually, I'm not this gender, I'm another gender? Those are the two debates, and those are the debates that are roiling the country. And obviously, I think the country is starting to see, biological sex exists, and we can't just say that in the name of tolerance, if you want to say you're a boy or a girl, you just get that freedom to choose. Just generally, and then obviously as a child should not be making that choice. And even if you think an adult, it's an adult, they can live however they want, a child should not be allowed to make that decision.
I guess my point is, without getting into all those specifics, is because there's a lot of other topics I want to get to with you, is that in social revolutions, one side or the other invariably goes too far. The pendulum swings too far into the other direction and then needs to swing back. But there are lots of issues that are valid within this debate. And I think that, hopefully some of those issues can be resolved.
Well, valid is, what is a woman? Let me ask you that.
I'm actually here to ask the questions, which is the good thing about the show. If I had the answers, then I wouldn't be doing this.
This is a fundamental belief. Like, society has to have a definition of what a woman is. And for millennia, as long as people have existed, we've known it's an adult human female. And there is an attempt to take that away, to say, it's what you feel, it's what you want to be. And there's not just man and woman, there's almost an infinite number of genders. And you are what you say you are, and everyone else has to respect that, or they're being intolerant. And society has to decide, does biological sex exist? Do we recognize what human history has always recognized, what the science tells us? Or do we elevate someone's individual feelings and say, everyone else in the society has to accept that person's feelings, or you're intolerant and we aren't allowed to do that?
Okay, so what I'm going to say back to you is evolution, that things do not remain the same, that yes, you can go back over millennia and look at all kinds of things, and there were things that have been accurate since the beginning of time, and there are things that we have looked at and gone, we were 100% wrong. So I'm going to let the debate carry on without it being necessarily between you and I, and I certainly respect your opinion to call these things out, but I think that there are people in this country that may not be in the extremes, but have been put in situations that none of us would want to deal with. And if at the end of this social revolution, we can get to a better place in this country with respecting all kinds of people and all kinds of things, I think that that will be a better place. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't have your opinion.
The problem is that people are taking advantage of other people's kindness. They're saying, well, just tolerate it. Just tolerate being a naked woman in a locker room and having a man walk in there. And if you don't accept that, you're intolerant. I don't think that's acceptable. I don't think it should be acceptable. And I think we have to say as a society, that's not allowed. Okay. If you are a six-year-old child, you don't get to decide what gender you are. You are whatever biological sex you are. Because six-year-old children are not capable of making those decisions. A 10-year-old should not be getting their testicles removed. That is an outrageous. That is should be a crime.
What I'm saying to you is, I'm not arguing with you on the specifics of what you're saying. I'm saying that the country is going through a revolution, a social revolution. And at the end of it, hopefully the concerns that you have will be addressed. But there may be a large body of people that have better lives because society has become more tolerant of things that are appropriate.
I don't think being tolerant of child abuse is going to improve anyone's life.
I'm saying to you, and this is, I think, the third or fourth time I'm saying it, you are entitled to your opinion. I'm not arguing with you about your opinion. There are other opinions, and that's part of the evolution of society. Is that not always in the prettiest way we are going to have discussions, and at the end of it we'll come out with a resolution and hopefully makes everybody more comfortable. But again, I don't disagree with your opinion. I just think there are other opinions out there, and that's what evolution of society is where we have these discussions and come to a conclusion. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about other stuff after this timeout. We'll be right back.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
The casino industry drove Nevada's economy for decades. By the 1990s, however, the state's sole industry was in sharp decline. Many were losing their homes, many were leaving the state. Is Reno on track to be the Detroit of the West? Was an October 2010 Reno Gazette Journal headline. Nevada knew it was time for a change and a time to diversify. Story County took that lead, took risks, invested tens of millions transforming its desert into a place of opportunity and a future for Nevada families needing something new. That desert now provides thousands of high-paying tech, advanced manufacturing, and energy careers at companies like Tesla, Panasonic, Google, Switch, and Redwood Materials. Story County transformed Northern Nevada forever, and the tide of opportunity has raised all vessels through construction contracts, high-paying careers, and the power of payroll. Tens of millions have been generated in sales and property tax, permits, and other revenues for Reno, Sparks, Washoe County, and for all of Nevada. Enough, in fact, to generate a surplus after public services are provided. And best of all, a sustainable economic climate has been created, enabling our children to stay in Nevada and live prosperous lives in their home state. Story County, improving Northern Nevada one industry at a time.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you, but we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with my friend Victor Jakes. He's the opinion writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and he certainly has opinions. And
that's as advertised.
Absolutely. Let's talk about immigration, because we're in this stunning situation where, even though in Nevada, unemployment, I believe, is around 5%, in normal circumstances, that's an incredibly low number, because once you start getting below that, that is full employment.
Yep.
And yet, we have thousands of jobs open in the state, especially in places like construction, but almost every company I represent in my advertising business is looking for employees. And one contractor said to me the other day, the people who are unemployed right now, if I try to employ them, they're no good at what they do, which is why they're unemployed. So does this not open the door for us to come up with some kind of coordinated, respectful way of having immigration reform in this country that both parties seem to not want to make work?
Well, I mean, the challenge with any time you open the door to the idea of amnesty or laxer immigration, it leads to a surge at the border of people saying, hey, I can get into the United States, I'm going for it. And so the practical problem is that anytime there's a politician signals like, oh, hey, you know, we're going to welcome illegal immigrants, it leads to more illegal immigrants.
Okay, well, all right, so let's back up a second. I'm not talking about illegal immigrants. I'm not talking about amnesty. I'm talking about the need of the United States across the country to have more workers, and the fact that we have an immigration system that is a total disaster. A legal immigration system is a total disaster. Qualifications that make absolutely no sense. And this has been going on now, as I said so many times on this program, since the Reagan administration. Now, the Reagan administration did do amnesty and converted a lot of people into regular citizens who had been here a long time. As they always propose, they put a cutoff date multiple years prior to when the bill was passed. But it does bring a surge of people trying to get to the border. But as long as the United States is a beacon of hope to people who have far less than we do, we're always going to be a magnet. But how do we make it so that we can have an organized system of immigration to where if we need workers, like we did in the Bracero program back in the 60s, that we can get the workers we need? I don't think, and this is always a subject for debate, that most of the people want citizenship. Most of the people just want a job. They want to be able to make money for themselves and their family, and then, if possible, send money back to their families back home. So I don't even think the citizenship is such a big part of this. It's a better life.
Yeah, I don't blame anyone for wanting to come here. I mean, it is still the greatest country in the world, and if I was born somewhere else, I think I would want to be here too. And so I think the challenge with immigration, and when you think about it, is you know, there is a trade-off, especially for low-income Americans, where if you are bringing in people who are competing against them, it's basic supply of demand, the wages for low-income Americans is going to be lower than it would be.
But they're not working now.
And then you look at things like the H-1B visa program, where, you know, you have software engineers, right? Like, they should be in high demand, and companies will bring in other software engineers from outside the country and basically say they're cheaper, we're hiring them. And so, you know, I'm actually kind of torn on immigration, and I think I've started to come around more to this idea, or at least give it more credence, that, you know, when you are bringing in more workers, yes, the economy in aggregate is doing better, but what's happening to those individuals who are basically being forced to compete against a greater labor force that's driving their wages down? And I think there are consequences to that that, you know, especially on the right, haven't been given enough consideration.
Well, I don't disagree with you that there is always going to be competition, but I think that's part of what makes this country great, is that we do have competition, that as hard as you want to work, the better your luck is going to be in life in terms of being able to earn a living. And, you know, if you're not working now, or you're not getting the appropriate wage right now, what the heck are you doing when businesses are paying $20+ an hour for people in fast food restaurants because they can't get the workers?
Well, and I mean, part of that, right, is the government coming in with the stimulus during COVID. I think you're seeing some of the generational shift of people getting to retirement age and saying, hey, I'm just going to tap out a couple years early. And we just don't have the young workers coming behind that. But, you know, I think there's a trade-off there. I mean, what's going to happen is corporate profits are going to be lower, but people are going to make more as the workers, because they're going to have to be paid more. Those workers aren't going to go away. And so I don't know quite what the right balance is there, other than to say I don't think we should really be doing anything until the illegal immigration situation is taken care of.
All right, so you're not looking at comprehensive immigration reform. You want to see first get done with the illegal immigration and then see what else you can figure out.
You know, if you could just snap your fingers and make it all happen, I think there's a case to be made for something comprehensive. But what we've seen in practice is that you never get the enforcement. You always get the carrots and never the stick. And so I think the border needs to be closed. And I don't mean closed to legal immigration, but we should know who is coming in, when they're coming in, why they're coming in, when they're supposed to leave. And if that situation is under control for a while, then I think you can start looking and say, well, how do we, you know, what do we do with people who've been here for a long time, who are contributing to the country? But the problem is until you stop the illegal immigration, the problem is only going to get greater when you think about something like comprehensive immigration reform.
You know what, Tom, you know, who you're agreeing with is Tom Friedman. He said that we should build a really big wall with some really big doors.
Well, I'm going to hold off on the doors until we get the wall.
No, I understand, but I mean, but I think the idea that somebody as liberal as Tom Friedman is saying, build big walls so that you can control that, and then have doors so you can bring in the people you want, I think that you guys are...
There could be some common ground there.
Let's take another break. We'll be right back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Victor Jakes. He is the opinion writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, one of the opinion writers. I wanted to talk to you about inflation, because it's so interesting to see in real time what happens when you raise the minimum wage, which a lot of people thought was the right thing to do. You know, first of all, it was $15 an hour, then just by virtue of the fact that people couldn't get employees, the number kept going up and up and up. Then you have the effect of that, which is you go to the grocery store and the groceries you're paying for are now through the roof, and suddenly you're cutting back on the different things you get. We're watching the effects of inflation in real time. Do you see at any point in the near or even distant future that these prices are ever going to come back down?
Well, I think what you're seeing is the rate of inflation is slowing, and the problem is that we've got a couple of years of, you know, nearly 10% inflation that it's slowing down from. And so the challenge is can we go back to 2019? And I don't really see a scenario for that. I think you're going to see a situation where prices remain elevated from that level. Obviously, I think the rate is going to slow down as, you know, the Federal Reserve tightens the monetary market, the housing prices come down, the production changes chains start ramping up for things like vehicles. You know, and you would expect in a couple of years used car prices to come down as there are more new cars being produced now. But I think it's going to remain a major problem for American families and for America in general. And part of that, a big part of that, is the federal spending. And I think that is something, along with you know, the shutdown of the economy that obviously cratered the production of goods, the large influx of federal dollars contributed to inflation, and fortunately that's continuing.
Right, and so bottom line is that you don't see it coming back down really either.
Yeah, I think you're going to see the rate slow, but I don't think you're going to, you know, go back to the good old days of 2019 where prices were then. I think you're just going to have prices remain elevated, and then we're going to slow the rate of the increase.
All right, so the bottom line is, for the people at the bottom end of the scale who got the increases that they were hoping for, those have been totally wiped out.
Yeah, this is the one ironic silver lining of inflation, right, is that it wiped away basically the damage that could have been done by minimum wage increases. I think Nevada, we're somewhere, it's around $11 an hour right now, and you know, I'm sure you've gone to the fast food restaurants that say, show up tomorrow and we will hire you at, you know, from $13 to $15 an hour, if not more. And so, you know, what it kind of shows, it shows the problem with the minimum wage law, right, is that if the market dictates, the wage will go up regardless of what the actual minimum wage is. But if the market comes down, then you've removed the ability of businesses to lower their wages and hire people at that price. Obviously, given the inflation that I don't think anyone saw coming 5 years ago, we're not really in that situation anymore.
And for places like Las Vegas, the robotics, replacing workers with robots, cutting back on employees across the board because of COVID, gaming companies especially figured out that they didn't have to have as many employees. That's a fascinating situation there too.
Yeah, there's a lot of things interplaying there, right? And I think what you're going to see is you know, companies obviously want to be able to cut back on workers. Are there places where artificial intelligence or robots could come in and do the job of some of those current workers? I take probably a less fatalistic view of it than other people in terms of knowing that, you know, if you look back at 1900, how many of the jobs in 1900 are the jobs that were available in 2000? And people adapt, economies adapt, but it is hard. It can be hard for specific individuals who've spent 25 years doing a job and that job's no longer there. And so even if the economy as a whole is better, even if things will be better in 25 years, it can be hard on individuals who are caught up in that churn.
Yes, and it's great because we don't often discuss the Industrial Revolution on this program. Okay. But no, I think you're 100% right, is that workers are displaced, but they are needed in other areas, and sometimes within the same business. Last quick topic here. Isn't interesting to watch, after we saw during COVID this all work at home situation, remote work, that all of a sudden now companies, especially the tech companies, are insisting that people are coming back to work. How does this strike you?
Well, I think there's value to people working together in an office, and I think that's what you're seeing is the leadership takes the bigger picture and says, hey, you know, we need people collaborating. There's some collaboration that you do better in person. And then obviously workers are saying, hey, it's much better to work from home. And I think I can be as productive, and so you're seeing some of that tug and pull there.
I personally think that beyond that, the social interaction of working in a company is so important too. Whether it's positive or negative, it's such an incredible learning experience. And I wonder if somebody is going to do a poll on the statistics of how many people found their lifelong relationships through their work environment that they would never find if they were working from home.
Yeah, I mean, people need to be around people. And so if work is a source for that, then that's important. If people are able to find it outside of work. But obviously, you're right. People need to be around people.
And that's where we have to leave it. Victor Jakes, always a pleasure to see you, my friend.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Sam.
And I'm hoping we get to do more debates coming up in the upcoming
That'd
political
be so
season.
Fun.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Ahern Hotel in Las Vegas. We'll see you on the next broadcast.